Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. If you're like about half of the country right now, you may be sitting around at 3 o'clock trying to figure out exactly what you're supposed to be doing. It's just the feeling that goes along with the end of the season and having that routine day in and day out. So I feel for you. That's always a tough time and a time of transition, but it's also a time to reflect. And whether you are playing this weekend or you're done for the season, there's some things I'd like you to think about and some things we want to preview as we head into this offseason. So going back to the beginning of really right before camp, as we were heading into the summer, the NFL made the announcement that they had banned certain drills that led to a lot of conversation on those things. And there was a lot of talk about the game being soft, and much of the focus was on how could we build toughness without those drills. But you got to remember, those were created over 50 years ago or more. And so, you know, the game has moved on. It's evolved. There's things we know that are better. And so we can't always hang on to the past as much as we love the tradition of this game. We always have to look to evolve. And with that, I did give some suggestions for how you could still incorporate some of those drills with some minor changes that allowed them to be better and really address the idea of player safety. So if you haven't checked that out, please do. I'll put the link in our show notes. The other controversial aspect of the game that seems to be coming about, and I've seen several things on it recently, is the idea of the blindside block and targeting. Targeting has been around for a while. The blindside block is kind of a new rule change that we've made. And just the other day, I tweeted out some screen captures of comments being made on a football coaches group on Facebook. And a group member posted a video of his nine-year-old of one of his friends, I should say. And the comments clearly show that we have a long way to go if we really want to preserve our game and have it there for future generations. I'll read a few of those comments here and then make some comments. So the first one was, great block. I don't care about illegal blindside block. The next comment got a little bit more aggressive. Listen, all you people saying it's illegal, an illegal block, you're the effing problem with football. Let kids play and stop being a blank about the sport. The next one was, for real? For a change, see the effort, that's why he posted it. Why is there a need for negativity? He wasn't asking how many penalties there were if it was an illegal act. Leave it up to the refs. Nice work there and nice effort. I can't agree with that. It's not nice effort if it's illegal. But later that day, after I posted some of those, I had lunch with one of my former defensive coordinators and a longtime coach. And we discussed how those plays and the kind of hits on defense, or a defenseless player, I should say, are the equivalent of sucker punching someone. We never say to someone who sucker punched somebody that they were tough. Yet we want to list those plays as tough, and we want to call the game soft or putting rules in place to remove them from the game. And he and I talked about a play that was really in a gray area the other day. We were talking about, you know, one of the plays in the NFL and a quarterback getting hit. And it very much looked like that the player who made that hit didn't intend to make an illegal hit, but he just got himself into a bad position and the official had to throw the flag. And, you know, I responded to my former coach that we have to live with that right now, that until those bad positions are coached out of the game, the things that are causing some of those hits, we have to live with those calls. Now, I would hope we get to a better spot where we find ways to make our contact technique better. There's still a long way to go there. There's been a ton done, you know, started with a hawk tackle. It's moved on from there. We're doing some great things at USA Football with the shoulder tackle and our advanced tackling system, and as well as our system for blocking and defeating blocks. And, you know, just going back, though, thinking about when that targeting rule was first put into place, I remember one of our players, I was at the college level, one of our players being ejected. And, you know, I was upset about it. I didn't coach defense, but I was upset that we lost that player. And I had that same kind of thought, man, what are we doing in this game? We're making it soft. But it was actually later that season, my perspective had changed a little bit. And as a player, I had some concussions myself, but you know, you don't necessarily recall some of those things or remember exactly how it affected you. But I remembered, or was affected by, I should say, something that season. One of our receivers sustained a concussion on an illegal hit, and he was unable to go to class for weeks. And it really hit home because, especially at Division III level, you know, our guys are there to be students first. And yet he couldn't go to class because of a hit that really wasn't necessary. It took him out of school temporarily. It affected him. So my viewpoint really started to change then. And, you know, the following year, I worked with my son's sixth grade team. And that's when I really just started to think about the tackle a little bit more and some of the things we were changing and were talking about up to that point about getting the head across the front. Really, I didn't understand, you know, why were we coaching that. It's just some of those things that we never think of a different way because that's the way we've always done it. But we have to dig deeper, right? We need to look at this game in a different way. So, you know, as I looked at more of those things in the Facebook groups, one was from a youth group, and the amount of trash talking and the hype that was part of it was ridiculous. And it really detracts from what is beautiful about our game and what this game is about. We always talk about it as coaches. Like, this is such a great vehicle to teach these guys things that are going to help them in life, that things are going to help them be successful and meet challenges throughout their lives. That's what the game always was for me. And, you know, all I see is these adults trash talking, these coaches making it about themselves on some of these groups. And, you know, we have to do a better job. I think seeing some of those things is just appalling. There was a video of some coaches running down a ref at the game and beating him up. You know, I couldn't believe that that's part of our game. Now, those things have happened over time. We've had coaches behaving badly, but you know, right now we know better. We have to, as coaches, especially high school, maybe there's some small college coaches out there, big college coaches, like, we have to be advocates for our game and we have to lead in this space. Another example I saw was LeCharles Bentley jumping on a comment that was made by a coach. And I want to preface this by saying, I'm not sure that that coach intended exactly what was called out by LeCharles, but I think in general, it is a prevailing attitude that LeCharles jumped on. It's not like a one-time thing. I'm sure I see it all the time. I'm sure LeCharles sees it all the time, and he felt that he wanted to jump on it. And the comment was, offensive linemen are a reflection of their coach. If they are soft, their coach is soft. You have to coach attitude before technique or assignment is even mentioned. And the reply from LeCharles was, stop this tough guy blank with effing kids. You build skills. This leads to confidence. You teach them the game. This leads to mental resiliency. The game develops the rest. Only cowardly men project false ideals of masculinity onto children. They are truly the soft ones. I want to repeat a part of that. I think it's so important. And I think it really rings true to what we need to do here as we look at, you know, how we approach football beyond this season, the 2020 season and beyond. And I'll say it again, you build skills, this leads to confidence. You teach them the game, this leads to mental resiliency. The game develops the rest. And I couldn't agree more. There was another comment made in this particular string, and a coach said, a culture of toughness is important for sure, but I've seen a ton of O-line coaches who act like tough guys because they don't have much else to offer their players. Very little instruction and technique. Kids need both. And I would agree with that. I've said before that I think with all the things that kids have to see and hear about, and their parents have to see and hear about before they even hit the field, all the people who are telling them they shouldn't play our game, any kid at any age who steps on the field today, I think by definition is tough. Now, we have to really hone in on that as coaches. We know they're tough, but let's develop their confidence. Let's develop their skill. And I think that's the key for our future. We don't need drills that weed out the weak ones. As I said, they're tough by being there. Let's find a way to build those kids up. We need coaches who are truly developing skills so that a player can grow in his confidence and perform like we want him to. In my coach's manual, I had a page in the philosophy section of what I believe player development was about. I think I adapted it from Joe Paterno. I'm not exactly sure where it came from. I know it was from, you know, a coach who was outstanding. And it really, outline how players develop in simple terms. And it was three words: who, how, aggressive. So the idea is first they need to learn the assignment or who they are responsible for. Then they learn how to carry out the assignment with skill and technique. And that takes time to develop, right? We have to spend our time as coaches developing that skill and technique. We have to develop the players in a way that it's going to lead to the performance we want on game day. And then and only then, once they've developed their skill and confidence that comes with being proficient at it, can they play aggressively. And I think when we look to drills to build the aggressiveness first and then find the guys who are quote unquote the toughest, try to build skill on those guys, we're doing it all backwards. So, you know, think about things like that as you go through this off season. This off season, we're going to continue to bring on incredible guests on coaching coordinator. We're going to focus on how they develop their schemes and the skills that go along with it. So whether it's the NCAA leaders, the NFL coaches, or high school state champions, we'll be sure to uncover the details of how they make their players and programs successful through their detailed plans that allow their players to perform at an elite level on game day. We will be talking quite a bit about the football development model. That's something we've been working on here at USA Football for a number of years. And really, we're looking at a long-term athlete development model. We're looking at a way that we build our program from kindergarten and just learning how to play through flag football, through rookie tackle, and all the different game types in between, all the way up to 11-man football. There's a progression that goes along with this. And we have to help those who are getting involved and donating their time, our youth coaches, understand this. I can't completely blame them for everything that's happening on the field. Yes, they're adults, but sometimes they don't know a better way. This is how they were coached to do it. They're doing what they know. As coaches, we spend a lot of time learning our profession, learning how to do things better, learning how to be great teachers. We have to pass that along as best as we can to people who are donating their time to help make our game better, to help make our programs better. So we're going to encourage you throughout the season to listen to this podcast, listen to the guys who come on here and give their tips for success and how you build a program and how you run certain aspects, whether that's offense, defense, special teams, your weight room, building culture, building leaders. All those things are going to continue, but we're really going to put that emphasis more on how do we really use this stuff, this information to develop our programs. You're going to see it in our blogs, on blogs.usafootball.com.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.